support comes from Tub Cove. With over 49 years of remodeling bathrooms, Tub Cove can help simplify the process, offering tub and shower replacements and full bathroom remodels. Local and family-owned, with a showroom in Redmond. Designs and information at tubcove.com.
You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. There's been an escalation in the legal fight over homelessness in Burien. On Thursday, the city of Burien sued King County, as well as King County Sheriff Patty Cole Tyndall. The city says deputies are breaching contract by not enforcing Burien's anti-camping ordinance that was passed by the city council back in September. This follows the King County Sheriff earlier this month asking a U.S. District Court judge for guidance on whether Burien's law is constitutional, saying deputies wouldn't act without that answer. Under the city ordinance, people may not rest, lay down, or sleep on public property between 7 p.m. and 6 a.m. It also prohibits campsites everywhere within 500 feet of daycares, parks, libraries, and schools. Anyone who's caught doing so could face a fine or a misdemeanor charge. Burien itself has seen lawsuits over the camping ban. Three people experiencing homelessness sued the city back in January, alleging the ordinance criminalized homelessness and infringed on their right to due process. The battle between Burien and the county reflects a struggle places up and down the West Coast are experiencing, trying to understand how to regulate the rising number of visibly homeless people on their streets and what can or should be done to support these people. Here to talk about Burien's position is Mayor Kevin Schilling. He voted in favor of the anti-camping ordinance when he was deputy mayor. Hi, Mayor Schilling. Thanks very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So let's just start simply here. Why is Burien suing King County?
Well, I'd actually like to start and go back a little bit to clarify a few of the things in the introduction. We actually are just passing a tent regulation. The law itself does not criminalize homelessness and does not make it difficult for somebody to sleep overnight. We're really trying to find a way to regulate tent encampments during business hours. People can still sleep at night if they've not been offered shelter and service. So we have not expanded an anti-camping ban, as you're calling it. What we've done is we've worked on a tent regulation to say, you know, you can't have permanent tent encampments up in public space during the day, only at night when you need to sleep if you've not been offered shelter and service. So we passed our first tent regulation last year, which does exactly that. And then we passed another amendment to the ordinance to make it so that we can offer people shelter and services first and foremost, but really ensuring that public spaces are clear for use and accessibility for everybody. So I want to make sure that's the clear intent of what we're doing. We're not criminalizing homelessness. We're not trying to make it difficult for people who need to sleep in a tent. What we're doing is we're trying to make a scenario where we keep public spaces clear and accessible for everybody, but still allow people to sleep in a tent if they need to, if they've not been offered a shelter or service that they can get into.
So, Mayor, I just want to make sure. So are you saying that I've inaccurately quoted the legislation? Under the ordinance, this is the reporting that we have, people may not rest, sleep, or lay down on public property between 7 p.m. and 6 a.m. Is that inaccurate?
Yeah, but there's a missed caveat there. The caveat is if they've not been offered shelter and service. So
got it.
The whole point is that we are focused on offering shelter and services. And so that's within the ordinance. The ordinance itself says you're not able to, that would not be allowed if you have been offered shelter and service.
Okay. And folks can't have their tents up on public property in Burien at all now
during business hours.
Got it. And so this issue of offering services, I mean, you're directly addressing, of course, kind of a broader legal precedent that we have to talk about here for folks who are unaware. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in Martin v. Boise that cities can't basically tell people that they can't sleep on public property if they haven't been offered an alternative. The judges, you know, said that criminalizing homelessness in this way was unconstitutional because it was akin to cruel and unusual punishment. Like, if somebody has nowhere to go, they can't be told they can't sleep on public property. So how is the ordinance in compliance with that legal standard? Do you offer everybody who is asked to move shelter?
Well, see, that's the point. The point is we can only enforce it if they've been offered somewhere shelter and service-wise. But the main point of the ordinance is to allow for accessibility and safety of public space during the day for everybody by regulating permanent tent encampments, saying you can't have your tent up during the day when business is open, when everyone has access to public space. Mm-hmm. We lead with services in the city of Burien. We just allocated $2.9 million through ARPA funds, hundreds of thousands of dollars for rental assistance, homelessness support, thousands of dollars to our shelters that we have in Burien. We've been working to try to open up more. That's been difficult because you need to partner with private property owners or people who would be willing to open up shelter. That's been tough. But certainly we've been trying to do all of that by investing $2.9 million of ARPA money, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Burien regionally spends more than other cities a percentage of our budget on homelessness services. And so we're doing what we can. You know, the state's just allocated millions of dollars to invest in behavioral health beds in Burien. We're open to that. We've just approved and fast-tracked an expansion of one of our shelters to be 200 shelter beds and 95 units of permanent supportive housing. So we're doing a lot investing in our service system. What we're finding the challenges to be is that unregulated tent encampments leads to a lot of negative externalities that are problematic for any community. You know, we've seen since the county sheriff and the county have stopped regulating our tent encampments, we have seen 4 overdoses and 2 overdose deaths.
And I know that's something that, you know, in other media outlets, you've linked to the lack of enforcement from King County. You know, others have pushed back and said that, you know, these are very multi-layered issues. And it's not fair to say that King County deciding that the ordinance is unconstitutional, you know, is directly linked to these overdoses.
Well, I don't know if it's unfair because King County just had a record number of overdose deaths last year, and King County's responsible for public health, and King County's responsible for investing in the permanent supportive housing system and regulating and operating KCRHA. So we've had a record number of overdose deaths last year, and we've had record homelessness increases across the county. So certainly it is the county's responsibility to ensure that we're investing in what we need to be investing in to expand and improve this system. The city of Burien is doing what we can. We can't be the only solution to homelessness across the region. We're doing what we can to invest in our system. We're doing what we can to ensure that we're leading with services, but we also need to ensure that public spaces are safe and accessible for everybody. And certainly what we've seen over the last few weeks with the sheriff's office not enforcing our tent regulation is it's led to overdoses. It's led to businesses being broken into. And it's led to a serious concern over the welfare of people who are not getting into the service providing network. You know,
I understand that you want to link the move by King County Sheriff's Office to overdoses. Again, I think that for many people is a stretch, and that, you know, we're going to have to just kind of put that aside for right now. The King County Sheriff's Office, when it responded to our request for an interview, we did invite the sheriff on, you know, just gave us a statement. It said the constitutionality of Burien's anti-camping ordinance is squarely before the federal court. Burien's attempt to avoid a binding judgment by filing a lawsuit in Snohomish County is just a misguided distraction as we await decision from the federal court. So, you know, King County has filed asking for a judge's guidance. Again, mm-hmm. whether or not the Burien ordinance, which you call a tent regulation, is in compliance with Martin v. Boise and other established court precedent that say you have to offer services before you can tell people they can't sleep somewhere. You know, I ask again, so where there are tents that have been banned, where you are asking people to move, are each one of those people being offered services ahead of time? And where are the services that they're being offered?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would say, and I'm not going to speak to the lawsuit just because that's happening right now. And I'm not our city attorney, so I'm not going to go into the legal elements of the lawsuit. But I will say that within this ordinance, people have to be offered a service somewhere in order for the ordinance to be enforced to say you can no longer be there. That's within Martin versus Boise. That's exactly what Martin versus Boise says. And so that's, I mean, that's what we copied the Bellevue ordinance that we basically used as inspiration for ours. That's what that says. SeaTac has a similar one. And multiple jurisdictions around the county have similar tent regulations that say you can't have tents up or you can't use tents from certain hours. We're not saying people can't sleep. In fact, our ordinance is specifically for business hours to be able to regulate public space. And we're saying
right.
That.
And if somebody, you know, has to obviously move their tent during the day, that's a huge barrier to, you know, the idea that they could be able to sleep somewhere. I mean, just to be clear, like a tent regulation, some people would say it's just another name for a camping regulation, right?
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. I think that what we're seeing is what's happening is when you allow tent encampments to stay put and for folks to stay in tent encampments, it's leading to overdoses. It's leading to properties being damaged. It's causing those negative externalities.
Mayor, I don't want to keep belaboring this, but I do think that we've addressed this, that you are arguing that the lack of enforcement by King County is leading to overdoses.
If you could clarify a little bit then, because I'm a little bit confused what you're trying to get me to want to answer here.
So what I'm asking is, when folks in Burien are offered shelter, where are they offered shelter? And are we talking about the centralized King County system? So folks are being offered to, you know, leave the city of Burien to go compete for shelter beds.
Right.
So where are the shelter beds that people are being offered in Burien that comply with the Martin v. Boise precedent?
So Martin versus Boise doesn't say, Martin versus Boise says that shelter and services have to be offered in the vicinity. So we are connected to the county system of shelter and services throughout the county. Martin versus Boise doesn't say it has to be available specifically in that block or that neighborhood or that city. It says in the vicinity, in the region. And so we have contracted with our county outreach services. We've just put out a brand new RFP specifically for a new outreach, hundreds of thousands of dollars for 3 years to have contracted outreach for bed placement and treatment placement. So that's county-wide. That's not just for Burien. As I've said already in this interview, Burien's been trying to expand its shelter capacity. We only have two shelters for families, and one is Mary's Place, one is with a local church. And so those are mostly full. But regionally, there are beds available. I've personally called places that offer beds and offer shelter myself to make sure. And there is shelter and there are beds and there are services available around the region.
And I just want to let people know. So Seattle Times has reported that across King County, 91% of the 5,344 available shelter beds have been occupied during single night counts in January of 2023. Again, that's last year, 91%. You know, there are, according to what you've been experiencing, Mayor, there are some beds available across King County.
Right. But I think that data set, exactly what you're saying, is the reason to say we need to expand these operations and services across the county. It's not just Burien, it's everybody.
When are these new pallet shelters going to come online? So in November, Burien agreed to accept $1 million and 35 pallet shelters from King County to help address the encampment that used to be next to City Hall and the library, and it's moved around a few times. When is that new shelter coming online?
Right. And that's not necessarily a shelter. We're not sure. We're still working through with King County what type of housing that's going to be. But we're bringing up the finalized recommendation from the Planning Commission this month, at the end of this month, in regard to that specific project. But that's we're still working through the county on what exactly that's going to look like.
You don't want to call it a pallet shelter? Is there some other that's
no?
I'm
saying I don't know if
it's out there. Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's considered a shelter or if it's considered transitional housing. I don't know what exactly the specific term is for tiny homes.
Got it.
So and what the money the county has allocated for that, I don't know what it's specifically designated for in terms of what type of housing that is. So I don't want to just say it's shelter. I don't want to just say it's transitional housing. It's
Definitely.
Some form of short-term housing.
And so we don't know the timeline of when that's going to come on yet, but that would be at least a few dozen beds in Burien for folks to be offered when they are not able to sleep outside.
Correct.
So I want to talk about this contract with the King County Sheriff's Office, because we are really getting to the heart of why there's this dispute between the county and the city. And that has to do with the interlocal agreement. How does that work in Burien? I mean, it's, I think some people assume Burien just has a regular police office and you know, staffing. But in fact, you're very closely intertwined with the county. How does that work?
So our interlocal agreement is a contract, essentially, between the city of Burien and the King County Sheriff's Office. And we pay them about $16 million a year to provide law enforcement services. And that interlocal agreement is the contract between the city and the sheriff's office. And that's what that, we don't have our own independent police force. We pay contracted services for the county to provide for us.
And in general, when there's a law that the city of Burien passes that the King County Sheriff's Office will eventually have to enforce, is there a consultation process that is supposed to take place? Is that typically how the city council does business?
Well, I'm actually also going to say that because there's now an active lawsuit on this specific issue as well, that I won't try to get into
sure.
specifics or about how or what the ILA is supposed to do, except just to say that ILA is available and you can read it as it is right now. I'm just not going to comment because there's now an active lawsuit on that as well.
Okay.
So I don't want to say anything that could be problematic for that.
So I'm gonna
not comment on the ILA lawsuit or parts
are
of
you
the
able
ILA.
To
I could talk
definitely
I could talk generally about ILA stuff.
Are you able to comment on why the lawsuit comes now? I think, you know, the King County Sheriff's Office is saying we're waiting for this guidance from the federal court in order to say if this ordinance is constitutional and then our deputies can enforce it. But now the city of Burien is suing, you know, in state court in the county to say,
county,
hey,
yeah.
That this is in breach of the interlocal agreement. You know, was there an argument to say, hey, we can wait until the federal guidance comes down? Or is there urgency here that you guys are seeing that you needed to pursue this through the county first?
Well, I'll just do a timeline for you and say that we passed our amendment to our ordinance Monday, March 4th. We emailed the sheriff to ask for a meeting on Wednesday. She responded on Thursday, and then within the hour of her response wanting to set up a meeting, that's when she issued her directive to deputies in Burien to not enforce that ordinance. And then the weekend passed, and on Monday, that's when they sued us in federal court. So we tried to set up a meeting with them to discuss this, and they didn't. They sued us instead. And then that's where we're at. That's literally where we're at. We made an entree to sit down and have a conversation about our new ordinance and how it works in the ILA with them. And they responded by saying to their deputies outside the process set up within the ILA, don't enforce this. And then they sued us. So.
And again, we've asked the sheriff to come on. We've asked King County to come on for an interview. They gave us the statement that we read earlier, just saying that they're waiting for federal guidance on this, the constitutionality of the ordinance in Burien.
Sure.
Mayor, before we go, what do you want the county and the state to do to better help municipalities like yours deal with the homelessness crisis?
You know, I think that's a phenomenal question because... And I haven't been asked that question that often. And, you know, Burien is a smaller resource-strapped community. We don't have major manufacturing. We're mostly a small business-oriented community with a lot of families that live in Burien and then commute elsewhere to go to work. And I think the problem in this situation has been when there's a focus on a political statement or politics over what a local community has decided, it hurts a couple different people the most. First of all, it hurts the people that we're trying to provide services for and trying to get off the street and into shelter and services. But, you know, it also hurts the rank and file of the law enforcement agencies. They get confused. They're concerned. You know, there's a lack of trust that starts eroding, and I mean, just a lack of trust that starts beginning. And like, I think ultimately what we're seeing is the concerns of the community are, why can't instead of having a political fight, there can just be a more respectable way of going about this, and for it to become more collaborative, because it's only hurting the people we're trying to help by getting off the street and into shelter and services, and it's also hurting the rank and file law enforcement. And Burien's a place that prides itself on its great law enforcement first responders. They do an amazing job, and I think we see a lot of confusion from citizens too. You know, they wonder if this means that we're going to have problems enforcing other laws, or what does this mean for the relationship between the police and businesses or local groups if they call them and need some help with something they're seeing. So ultimately, the concern for me and what I want other people around the county to know is that we really need to move away from this choosing of politics over public safety. We need to start prioritizing getting people off the street into shelter and services wherever they are. And we need to start focusing on outcomes and making sure that folks are getting into permanent placements that lead to positive outcomes. And I think that's all my main message is for this.
Burien Mayor Kevin Schilling, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
And we've reached out for further response from the King County Sheriff's Office related to the overdose deaths that Mayor Schilling brought up here. They haven't gotten back to us yet, but they did send a statement to Cairo Radio last month after a specific death occurred in Burien. And they said, quote, "The sheriff's office is sad to see the death of any resident, including the case today in Burien. While there is disagreement between the city of Burien and the sheriff's office regarding a recently adopted emergency public camping ordinance, KCSO, that's the King County Sheriff's Office, is actively enforcing all other laws within the city of Burien." Thanks for listening to Soundside. This show is only possible because listeners support us. If you're able to give right now, please check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's Teen Dance Ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.